Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're delighted to have you on board. We look forward to your comments, your questions, dialogue, and discussion. You can join in this discussion each and every day simply by dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413 gets you directly through to our studios and right to the microphones so that we can have your question and or your discussion and dialogue about the issues that we're speaking of. Let me remind us again that as we look at issues, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, I believe truth is a lost word in the vocabulary of most today, especially in what I call the loose likes lost liberals and the fake media and the progressives, as they call themselves. Truth is something that is avoided like the plague. If you don't believe that, just watch what's happening in Washington each and every day and listen to the dialogue and the discussion, and you'll find they tiptoe around everything but the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues today, we're going to be dealing with an issue that I believe needs to be confronted. I've done so many times down through the years. Most are not familiar with how to deal with the issue. But we're going to talk about today the media outrage over truth. The media outrage over truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it seems that the media is outraged once again over a church sign that is bold enough and honest enough and unafraid enough to speak the truth about the immoral declensions in America. So what did the church sign say? Let me just read you a blurb or two from it. I laugh at that because I've been through this personally so many times. I understand the pastor and the church and what is taking place even at this very moment. It hadn't hit the public fake news media yet. It probably will in the next 24-hour cycle. Church protested because their sign reads, "Bruce Jenner is still a man and the Bible is still truth." The article says Trinity Bible Presbyterian Church outside a Northern California town named Weed posted a phrase on its marquee that read, "Bruce Jenner is still a man. Homosexuality is still sin. The culture may change, but the Bible does not." Ladies and gentlemen, what's wrong with that statement? Is anything that is false? Anything that is incorrect? Anything that is simply a lie? The answer to that is no. This article further says a local NBC affiliate reported on the incident and the ensuing protest, quoting the organizer of the protest that said, "Keep it in your church. If it's not something hopeful for the community, if it's not loving, keep it in your church." The organizer of the protest stated, "Keep it in your house. Keep it in. Don't share it with anybody," end quote. Of course, the First Amendment does not quarantine First Amendment rights to within the four walls of the church building, this article says. The reputation of the pastor Hoke, his name is Hoke, H-O-K-E, with whom Pulpit and Pen is familiar, that's a publication organization, precedes him as one of the most certainly, that will not certainly keep this in the house, nor not share it with everybody. The protest organizer said, "I just want to show that this community is loving, is caring, is supportive, and we are not, that the sign does not encompass what this community is, and really wants to show that." Further, the article says, apparently she, which is the organizer of the protest, is typical. The sodomite embracer that attacked our ministry not too many months back because of a similar sign. It was one that's always one that either is in that lifestyle or embraces those in that lifestyle. The article here says, apparently she wants to show the world that the community doesn't tolerate diverse points of view and will silence dissonance by protest. Then the article further says, and this is the essence that I want to point out to us, ladies and gentlemen, although the word hateful was used repeatedly by the protesters, it is unclear as to what precisely about the sign was characteristic of hate. It's worth noting that the protesters aren't on record disagreeing with the facts as set forth in the sign, but only allegedly that it somehow is speaking hate. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in society in which we're living in today, if you speak truth based on especially biblical truth, it is called hate speech. The world hates truth, and God's word is truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Further, this article says, Pulpit and Pen reached out to Pastor Hoke, who estimated the protesters at less than 100 when his church service began. He also alleges that instead of simply reporting the news, the local news actually helped organize the protest. Ladies and gentlemen, it is truth, and sin hates truth. This article wraps up, and let me just read you a blurb or two, and we'll go further. Pastor Hoke also clarified the biased nature, of the reporting on NBC stated, quote, "The NBC news guys asked me why I hated homosexuals, and then edited my response to make it sound like I was saying I thought it was offensive for people to say the sign was hateful. While I affirm that the sign is a clear declaration of truth, as such identifies sin, as sin is a warning and a call to repentance. I am not offended by those who hate the truth calling the sign hate. I was offended by the NBC News personality assuming my motives for putting up the sign were hatred," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's typical of fake news. That's typical of the news media on a national level. I've seen it too many times in 50 plus years in ministry. They're not interested in news. They're interested in manufacturing news. They're interested in hyping an event to call out the hounds of hell against those that are speaking truth or preaching truth, or where their sign speaks truth or addresses truth based on the authority of the scripture. So what did the church sign say? Was it something that's hateful? So the false media does not want to report truth. But may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, they want to manufacture fake news. But the real issue that we must face is this. Was the message on the church sign true? Absolutely, unequivocally. Bruce Jenner is still a man. You can cut off all the body parts you want to and add all the body parts you want to. Put a little lipstick on the pig and it's still a pig. But the truth is, he's still male. The DNA doesn't change because you change the cosmetic approach and the look of a human being. In fact, I've got sheaf after sheaf of files in relationship to the medical science saying that the DNA cannot be changed, cannot be altered. It is unalterably set in place at the birth of the child. When that child is formed in the womb, it has the DNA already there that makes it a male or female. And God's word said there's only two sexes, male and female. It's not a shim or a him or it or whatever it may be, as is in the thought process of the liberal media in the world today. The Bible, ladies and gentlemen, is very, very clear that sodomy is a sin. And the fact that the church's sign was stating truth from God's word is not hate speech, but it is the very epitome. It is the very essence. It is the very apex and the absolute point of essence in love. When you're willing to speak the truth in love, you're saying to the individual reader, or you're saying to the world, or the individual you're speaking to, it is saying, because I love you and do not want to see you go to hell, that I must tell you the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because the Sodomite lifestyle, and the cities were destroyed as a result of what God's word says in Genesis 18 and 19, chapter 18 and 19, replete with the evidence that God hates the sin of sodomy. The Bible presents us with God's raw truth about this issue. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a little weary. I'm worn out. I'm tired of seeing the fake news jump on their little moral bandwagon and say that somehow, some way, Christians and pastors are speaking hate when we speak the truth in love, when we say what the Word of God says. In fact, in Genesis 18 and verse 20, Scripture says, "And the Lord said, because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because the sin is so grievous, I'm going to destroy it." And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what He did. But I want us to understand that does not negate the fact that we as Christians ought to speak the truth. Does not negate the fact that we as Christians ought to still be watchmen on the wall. It does not negate the fact that somehow, some way, that we are to be silenced. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, in Genesis, the 19th chapter, verse 4 and 5, the Scripture says it very clearly, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, and the old and the young, all the people from every quarter." Verse 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in unto thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." Ladies and gentlemen, then in the 19th chapter of Genesis, in verse 24 and 25, the Scripture says, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground." Ladies and gentlemen, God says, "I hate sin enough that I'm willing to destroy two entire cities and all of the inhabitants as a result of that horrific sin." Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the sin of sodomy today, the sin of homosexuality, and the media outrage over truth. The fact is that God hates sin, and oh yeah, today it's called LGBT, or the transgender, or the homosexual, or the transsexual, or the gay movement, but it's still sodomy according to the Word of God. So don't you think God is saying no to the sin that it was prevalent that caused him to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? So if it is a church, let's just think hypothetically for a moment, if it is a church, and it is, if it's a pastor, and it is, that this article is about, it is one that I am delighted to have taken the stand that they did. I'm delighted that you have a few pastors across America with the spine and the backbone, even in a sin-soaked, immoral declension in America today, that'll take a stand and speak the truth on signage, or on radio, or television, or on the printed page, or from the pulpit. I am thankful to find that occasion as it comes about. But ladies and gentlemen, in our enlightened society today, it seems that we're saying no to God. The media, via fake news, trying to glamorize the LGBT movement. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, just for your edification, back just a few years ago, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, and the Pew Research Group researched the very subject. And the Pew Research Group said about 0.87%, less than 1% of Americans identify with the LGBTQ, the sodomite lifestyle. CDC said it was 0.87%. One said 0.87, one said 0.67. Still less than 1%. And so let's just say, give them the benefit of the doubt and say it's four times that, which I think would be an absolute impossibility. But it's still less than 4% of society. And yet we find the political movement today embracing it. We find the fake news today embracing it as though it is the major percentage of Americans. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not so. We're being sold a bill of goods. We're being sold a lie. And Christian after Christian after Christian, and church and church after church, and pastor after pastor are swaying, are bending to the demonic lie that says that we must embrace this lifestyle, or we're going to be marginalized, or somehow, some way, we'll not be able to have people in our church. Most pastors are afraid to face it because they're afraid of numbers, nickels, and noses. They're afraid of those in the pew that might be upset because they speak the truth on it. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us, it is an impossibility for us to say we're saved and still flaunt sin. The media, by way of fake news, try to glamorize the LGBT movement, all of their superstars that continue to flaunt their sin. And today, ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ and the push for the so-called transsexual recognition, I believe, is destroying our nation, and they're destroying it from the foundation, that is, from our children and up. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe when organizations like that push it on our children, that they should be charged with child abuse. But nevertheless, we have that taking place now on a rampant basis. And we're finding more and more of the House and the Senate members embracing that. And I find it, as a result of that embracing it, it emboldens those in that lifestyle to run for office and get elected. Kristen Sinema, spelled S-I-N-E-M-A. I find it unusual that the first portion of her name is Sin, S-I-N. Kristen Sinema, first openly bisexual senator. Democratic winner Kristen Sinema won over Republican candidate Martha McSally in Phoenix, Arizona. The article says the 42-year-old Democrat from Tucson, the first openly bisexual representative in Congress, became the first openly bisexual senator in the U.S. Senate. We have those that are openly homosexual, bisexual, transsexual, those that embrace the sodomite lifestyle and movement that across the nation from local, state, national elections are filling the positions of leadership that make the rules and the policies for our nation. And I don't know what God's going to do, ladies and gentlemen, but as you study the scripture, it's going to come to an apex, a boiling point at some point in time. And as a result of that, we need to recognize God's going to judge America, if in fact he's not already doing so. Here's an article that says, transgender theory enables child abuse. Public radio show host Jesse Thorne identified his 2-year-old son as a girl, dressing his son as a girl and calling him a girl's name. Ponder that, folks. A 2-year-old. We all know this is insane. This is child abuse. When the comedian Owen Benjamin compassionately said Thorne was abusing his child, LGBTQ enforcers crushed Benjamin's career. His tours were canceled, and he was blacklisted in Hollywood. Ladies and gentlemen, I find this fascinating but yet true, that when you speak the truth in love about the sodomite lifestyle, you get blacklisted and blackballed, and the media of all people, the fake news, come after you tenaciously and try to make it look as though you, the Christian, the church, the pastor that's speaking the truth, that you're wrong, that you're speaking or preaching hate. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply not the case. We have a caller on the line. Go ahead with a question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, I love what you're saying about the truth that the sodomites, just how do they want us to act? I was looking in the news, and Ellen DeGeneres wants to, she's talking about retiring and live with her wife, who's 45, and the wife wants a child. Well, now they say Elton John, he's 71, and his wife is 56, and they want a child. Dr. Youngblood, if you wanted to buy a car, would you go to a lawnmower shop to buy a car? In other words, when they got with these people, didn't they notice that they were the same gender? How are you supposed to have a child with a person of the same gender? And are we just supposed to stand by and nod our head and act like a lie is the truth? Is that what it is? Just ignore the truth is what they want us to do.
You asked a philosophical question, an ideological question, but it's very, very real. They knew this from the outset. They knew this from the very beginning. They're just simply wanting to see how far they can go with their sin, see how long it will be embraced, and to what breadth and depth the American citizenry will allow this to take place. It is simply a sad, sad fact that the fake media today and multitudes, if not most of our progressives, they call themselves, now we recognize that it's total socialist slash communist Democratic Party that's doing that, but it is a simple fact that they're wanting us to embrace even the most flagrant sin that they flaunt in our faces. They're wanting Christians to accept it, Christians to embrace it, and unfortunately, that is exactly what we see happening across America with churches and pastors that don't have a spine to stand for truth. They're ignoring the Word of God. They're disobeying, disavowing, and dissing the Word of God, and somehow still call themselves Christians. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood, and God bless you for your message.
Thank you so much for your call and for your insight. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go ahead and give the question and a comment, please.
I think this goes to show the sewage that the media has become. And sadly, many Christians, instead of reading the Bible and getting equipped, they just stand in front, looking at all these mouthpieces and godly people and buying those lies, you know what I mean? And then when you don't buy, and even Christians, they look at you like weird. Wait a minute, we need to stand for what the Bible. I had encountered people like that, that I tell them, you know, that homosexual lifestyle is sinful. And they look at me like I'm on the other planet. Also, you are a homophobe? And I say, yes, and a proud one. Because my Heavenly Father, God, he's a homophobe by your definition. So we need to know how to defend our faith. And instead of wasting time and being politically correct, we need to speak truth. Because the generation that is coming after us, what's going to happen to this country and to the gospel in America? I mean, it's sad. That's why you got that singer, Lauren Daigle, that she didn't have the guts to say on national television that homosexuality was a sin. She said, well, I'm not God to say that. Wait a minute, lady. You don't know your Bible? I mean, it's sad, brother. It's sad. But thank you for
your exactly
program.
Right.
Very enlightening.
Thank you so much for your comment. You're exactly right in what you're saying. It's a lack of knowledge of the Word of God that causes Christians, those so-called Christians, to go to the clinching that's being reached today in society. Further in this article about the transgender theory enables child abuse, this article goes on to say, and I'll just read a brief portion of it, says, do you see how this works? Benjamin courageously exposed the abuse of a child, and he is branded as an extreme right nutcase and a hater. LGBTQ enforcers seek to shame and destroy anyone who dares to state the obvious truth that gender theory is child abuse hiding in plain sight. And this article further talks about the head of the American College of Pediatrics in America. And it says, see, according to the most mainstream media organization, if you want to cut off healthy arm or healthy leg or healthy body parts, you're mentally ill. But if you want to cut off sexual body parts, then somehow, some way, you're transgendered. And it goes on to talk about how this dear lady that's head of that organization has enraged the LGBTQ enforcers, and she is now being absolutely bombarded and trying to be forced out of her position of leadership in that organization. Ladies and gentlemen, we're faced with a major dilemma in society today. We're talking about media outrage over truth, and this media outrage now has reared its head again because a church in Northern California has been brazen enough, bold enough, and truthful enough to put on their sign in relationship to the truth about Bruce Jenner and about the state of that. In fact, their sign is very, very clear. It says Bruce Jenner is still homosexual. He is still a man. Homosexuality is still sin. The culture may change, but the Bible does not. And that's the truth that we need to tell the whole wide world. We need to stand on truth. But ladies and gentlemen, the Brazilian president, the new president of Brazil, has the answer of where we need to go in America. This article says, Brazil's new president declares God above all and vows to fight gender ideology. Brazil's new president was sworn into office on the first day of January and wasted no time in expressing his intention to lead the country to in accordance with the Judeo-Christian principles and to defend the institution of the family against destructive gender ideology and political correctness. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to thank God for this man's taking that stand. The National Congress of his state and his country promised that the new president of Brazil, we're going to unite the people, the value of the family, respect religion and our Judeo-Christian tradition, combat gender ideology, and conserving our values. Brazil, he says, will return to being a country free of the claims of chains of ideology. My electoral campaign listened to the call of the streets and forged a commitment to place Brazil first and God above all. He goes on to say, irresponsibility has brought us to the greatest ethical, moral, and economic crisis in history. Today, he said, we begin an arduous task of bringing Brazil into a new chapter of history, a chapter in which Brazil will be seen as strong, powerful, confident, and bold. I say amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. Further, he says, and I quote, we cannot allow destructive ideologies to divide the Brazilian people, ideologies that destroy our values and traditions and destroy our families, which are the foundation of our society. We can, I can, you can, and our families altogether can reestablish ethical and moral standards that will transform Brazil. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that somehow, some way, that can be echoed in the chambers of the House and the Senate in the United States of America to bring us to the same position. Ladies and gentlemen, it outrages the LGBTQ groups across America and in other nations when we take the stand. But ladies and gentlemen, here's the reason. Here's the rationale. Here's an article that says evangelical groups hop on the LGBTQ bandwagon. Here's the problem. We're getting to the problem that brings this about in our nation. The question has been asked by two callers, why is this so? Why is it happening? And it's simply because of this. This article says, the recent action by the boards of two organizations that have been nationally visible as representing conservative evangelicals is the, quote, great evangelical sellout for a number of critical reasons, not the least of which is wrongfully capitulating to one of the most deceptive strawmen of modern culture and politics. The National Association of Evangelicals, known as the NAE, and the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities, known as the CCCU, are supporting the inclusion of the sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression in federal civil rights prosecutions, and a patent rejection of biblical truth, moral laws, and sound constitutional principles, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, these two organizations, both of them formally endorsed principles that would add sexual orientation and gender identity, known as SOGI laws, to the federal non-discrimination law. Here's what it said. The U.S. Pastor Council, a growing interracial, interdenominational network of local pastors, and the Pastors Council that was founded and grew from the flagship Houston area Pastors Council, the team that led the defeat of the lesbian former mayor in Houston, the LGBT pro-equal, pro-rights ordinance in 2015, is calling on the NEA and the CCCU for its indefensible act of yielding moral truth to the perceived temporary protections of federal law. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the end result. Here's the problem. Here's where I want to wrap up in the broadcast today. Here's a survey that says evangelicals don't understand Christianity. The State of Theology survey by a large organization indicates 53% of evangelical Christians believe everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. This survey takes the theological temperature of the United States 1 or 2 years, the scriptures, this article says, every 2 years, that is, to help Christians better understand today's culture and equip the church with better insights for discipleship. The latest survey also indicates evangelicals like the understanding of Christianity's claims of exclusivity. It found 51% believe God accepts the worship. Listen, these are evangelicals. Says 51% of them believe that God accepts worship of all religions, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, while 42% disagree. That's the majority, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible is clear that the gospel is the only way of salvation, and God will not accept worship of any other faith. It is only through Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, by the work of the Holy Spirit, that enables an individual to be saved and be called a Christian. This article says, Americans, this report says, don't seem to grasp the reality of God's holiness. The article says the survey found 58% of adults agree that worshiping alone or with one's family is a valid replacement of regular church worship. The article says, as many as 60% of adults agree that religious belief is a matter of personal opinion, not objective biblical truth. Ladies and gentlemen, therein lies the problem. There's the solution, the resolution to the whole issue of the Sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ, and pastors and people in the pews across America bowing and bending to the LGBTQ commands and demands and mindset. This is the reason the fake media crawls on it every time a pastor or a preacher or a church takes a stand and says the truth, whether it's on a marquee or otherwise. And ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it's very clear that one living in the Sodomite lifestyle will die and go to a devil's hell. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following talks about God has given them over to a reprobate mind. So ladies and gentlemen, one of the things we need to do, let's pray for the pastors and churches that take a stand. Pray for the church in Northern California. Not back down, not bend, and not bow, but to take the stand. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.